Morning. Good to see everybody. Let's open our Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 9. Excuse me, chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. You saw the title, The Best Blessing. We're going to look at the best blessing this morning. Amazing. Before we start, I need to take a moment, if we would, and there's a couple in our church, Damien and Carol Perea. And Carol's been in the hospital the last 3 days, and she's has a mass on her, under her, in her stomach, a couple of them. And they're done tests, and I'm not sure conclusively what's going on. They've done biopsies, but it doesn't appear to be very good. So we are going to pray for her and watch what God's going to do. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We thank you so much that you are a God that loves us so much. But Lord, you're a sovereign God. And you know what's going on with Carol. And we pray, Father, but we can ask. You ask us and tell us. We can come and ask. And we're going to ask now. Prayers of a righteous man avails much. And we're going to pray for healing. Please, Lord, we pray for Carol. We pray, Lord, whatever it takes, make sure, Lord, that whatever the doctors can do, we pray, God, that you can do anything. We pray that you would be with the family, comfort the family. But right now, we pray as Carol's preparing to come home, and I think she may start chemotherapy. Lord, you do amazing work. You can do it. Thank you, Lord, what you're going to do. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. And thank you, Lord, for this message. We pray, God, anoint the message this morning. We thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for hearts that are open to you now in Jesus' name. So, ever wondered if you've been really blessed by God? I mean, really blessed. Ever had that feeling? Well, I kind of know. I don't know. Maybe something, sometime. Well, if you're a believer, if you know Jesus, you are the most blessed creature that's ever created. In fact, look at Genesis chapter 8. I'm going to start reading with verse 20. And it says this. Speaking of Noah, the ark's now done. They've left the ark. Now it says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. See, this is the thing about Noah. Noah knows about a blessing. Noah is blessed. And see, sometimes we need to step back to look at really at what God has done for us, because really, what is the best blessing? See, God's infinite gift is related to verse 20. And it's how we respond to that gift. And this is the background here. As the Lord has flooded the earth, destroyed every living creature other than Noah and his family, and 20,000 species of animals on a big ship. God has done this. Started over. And we see this, the reason why. After 1,500 years, probably since the creation, people, as Adam and Eve, turned their backs on the Lord. As Adam and Eve obeyed Satan, and the world continued to gotten worse and worse and worse, to the point where God says He's had enough. As it says in Genesis 6, we saw, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So people were living like animals. They're living off their instincts. And God said, I've had it. And only righteous Noah. Noah's righteous because of his faith. He trusted God. He believed God. And he found this. Listen, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. by faith. Simple faith. Trusting in the love of God. See, God's a rewarder, it says in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, and it's not for prosperity. It's not for wealth and health. It's not about that. And there's a lot of that out there. But see, that's not biblical, as we see here. Because what we are saved from and what we receive is saved from judgment. What we all deserve. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve death. We all deserve what all the people that were flooded on the earth. Do you get that? But those that turn their back and reject Him will receive that, sadly. Because there is a reckoning, there's an accounting. Just as we have to account for our taxes, and we have to pay taxes in a month. There's an accounting. There's a reckoning. But there's those that will reject God and His love. And see, here's famous Noah. We know about Noah. You've heard of Noah. The rest is history, right? So imagine what Noah experienced. Noah's on an ark, on this big ship. All the whole world's basically been destroyed. Every living creature. Can you imagine what he saw? And we're talking millions, if not billions of people by then, at this point. But he and his family are safe. They're saved, secure in the ark. And understand this again, the ark is a type of Jesus. So have you been saved? Saved from what? Saved from judgment of God that we deserve as sinners. Saved by Jesus Christ. That He died, He paid that price that we deserve. And He rose again from the dead, resurrected. Acts 13. Preached here as a sermon. But he who God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you for the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You can't do it by obeying all the laws because you can't obey all the laws. But we're justified, just if I'd have not sinned. Isn't that awesome? I don't know if you're getting this, but this is just, you know, wow. It gets me all stirred up. Because here we see, as Noah missed the death, he missed it. What was deserved. Do you think Noah is appreciating what he saw and is experiencing? He's witnessed now a new life. It's a new world. After all this death, it's a whole new world. And in fact, it's a new world geologically because what's happened, I believe, is you look at, as we studied and saw what happened with the earth, there was a big blanket vapor of water above, and of course, the waters were under the earth just filled with bazillion gallons of water, and everything came flooding up, and at this time, geologically, there was the rising with the water rising up, and there would be mountains that would be formed. This would, you see the folding of mountains. If you drive along, you can see the sediments of layer. Go to the Grand Canyon. There's shells on top of the Grand Canyon. And honestly, the geologists try to come up with a theory that maybe a little trickle of water just over billions of years did this big canyon. No, it was, you could do it from a flood. So Noah knows it. He sees it. So what does he do? The first thing he does after he gets out of the ark to see what happened, what does he do? Do you see it there? He built an altar. Built an altar. First time this word altar is mentioned in the Bible, right here. And he talks about clean animals. Now, Moses' law has not been given until we see that in Exodus. But what's a clean animal? Some believe it was you have domestic animals that were clean and you have wild animals. That's all I can say. Nobody knows. But we know this, that the altar is for an offering. An offering. Not to get prosperity, not to get wealth, but an offering for two things. Number one, for praise and thanks. An offering. Praising and thanking. And number two, for worship. Now, why do you think he would be doing that? Because of what he just came out of. What he was just saved from. And so it's described as a burnt offering. What's a burnt offering? We find out later. Burnt offerings were offerings where you literally just put everything on the grill and cook it to the... it's gone. It'd be like, you like your steak medium or well, really well done? Well, this is super done. And it really is a consecration of your someone's self. I'm giving my all, having all, just giving up, burning up. Here it is. All for God. Burned up for God. See, that's what I want to do. I want to burn out for the Lord. Just giving it all. Because He has given it all. He's done it all. See, again, imagine Noah, what he experienced. What would be an automatic response to get out his family safe, everyone saved from this life-threatening experience? Now, have you ever been involved in a life-threatening experience? Maybe you have. Maybe you've been in a major car accident and been saved. I've never been, but I've read stories. I read of a story of a man in Maine recently that was in a major car accident, and the response was CPR. The EMTs came and they performed CPR on the guy. They actually brought him back. And this is what he's quoted it as saying. He says, "I was overwhelmed with gratitude because they saved my life." And Anderson is this guy's name, who helped train Wickasset EMTs for these types of calls. He said, "It was a kind of automatic to want to thank these guys that had saved my life. I just wanted to say thank you with all my heart." See, this is Noah's response. The guy's got a second chance. Overwhelmed with gratitude because the Lord saved him by what? By grace. Noah didn't deserve it. See, Noah knows of the law of this love. He knows the love, as we read about in Ephesians, how wide and how deep and how the length of God's love, it's enormous. But sometimes we don't know it. We don't appreciate this great love that God has given us. God is so good all the time. Some people say, well, how could God destroy all those people? God offered a salvation. Noah's preached when he built the ark. He's building this ark and literally preaching to people. I mean, in terms of just building the ark. Hey, here's a way to get saved. Right? In fact, Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." Noah believed. Do you believe? Do you realize and believe what you are saved from? Again, Jesus is the type of ark. He's the prophesied Old Testament Savior, the Messiah that's to come to save the world. As it says in Acts 10:43, "To Him, Christ, all the prophets," we read in the Old Testament, "witness that through His name, whoever believes in His name will receive remission of sins." Remission. Wiped out. As if you've been pulled from a burning car, that you could be burned up. Like the man said, it was kind of an automatic to want to thank these guys that had saved my life. I just want to say thank you with all my heart. But see, we're saved from this eternal torment and death. You ever hear somebody on TV when they get saved? You always see the news. Someone got saved. What do they say? what is usually the response back to the guys, the first responders? What do they say? I owe my life to that person. See, that's a debt. But here's what's so awesome about God. There is no debt. This is an incredible gift. It's just to receive this gift. But what is our response? Do I offer myself? Here I am, God. Wow, thank you. See, Noah experienced that love, and he's offering on that altar. He's praising, and then the Lord... See, this is the thing about the Lord. As you understand what He has done for you, He has you. He has you in His hands. And listen, He will not drop you. Can you get that? Can we grasp that? How He won't let us go? He has us if we will just trust in Him. See, write this down. God loves me so much. I'm the most valuable thing in the universe. Do you know that? You are the most valuable thing in... I'm talking the universe. Wow. Really? Really. God so loved the world, right? That He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. God in the flesh Himself. The greatest blessing in the world. See, if this news came that someone had cancer and the cancer's gone, there's a new life, a second chance. So Noah gives this offering. Verse 21, it says, and what is received? It says it's received like, as it says, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. The word soothing is the word literally peace and tranquilizing. This is what happens when we give this sense of thanks and response to God. Listen, it's as if it gives Him this peace, as if He needs anything, as if it's tranquilizing. But what happens is it comes back on you. As you respond with that thanks and that praise and that worship, as if you put yourself on the altar. God, thank you. It pleases God. Do you realize you please God? You do. You do. You please Him. It pleases Him. Don't you love to someone to come up to you and say, you know, thank you for whatever, X? Does that make you feel good? It does. And can you imagine that when we tell God, thank you? Listen, literally, it pleases Him. And it comes back, this peace upon us. The Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, the supernatural gift, this peace. Does it make you? Yeah, it does. Then we see this next God response here. Look at this promise, verse 21. Then the Lord said in His heart, this is God's response, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing that I have done. Never again He's going to curse the ground. As He talked about back and we saw in Genesis chapter 3. God has a new plan to save you, to save me. And He gets us back to paradise. How? Through Jesus Christ. As this is all about, the rest of this is all about Jesus Christ. The leading up to Christ. And who He's all about. Even though all man is just his heart's turned against the Lord. It says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, who can, and desperately wicked, who can know it? See, God has provided a new way to wash away sins, and it's not with a flood. It's not with water. But by grace. Isaiah 54:8. In fact, turn over to Isaiah. It's right after Psalm, Proverbs. You're going to find Isaiah back there. Look at Isaiah chapter 54. I want you to see this. Verse 8. It says, "With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you." Now this is specifically addressed to the children of Israel, but it applies to us as we get it opened up to us through Jesus Christ. This is for you. Then it says it's a new world, verse 22. Look what happens with this. It says, while the earth remains, this is this new world. There's seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. It's going to be, you know, different seasons. It wasn't like this before. It was a perfect world before the flood. Perfect weather. Then God blesses Noah for his faith and obedience. Chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" Rewarder. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The Holy Spirit is going to bless you, people, with your this multiplication, this fulfilling, this fruit of the Spirit is love, the joy, the peace, and the kindness, the gentleness. Do you want that? We can have that if we just receive it. God wants to bless us. He wants to reward us. It's nothing we have to work for to earn. Just receive. And it's just, and again, it's not prosperity, it's not wealth and health, but it's just something infinitely better. I have been so blessed as I learned, it takes a while, get through this thick skull to trust and obey the Lord. And wow, it is so good. It's not easy. Troubles don't go away. You know, if anybody promises you that you've got to have a perfect, easy life, no, it's not easy. But it's simple. Because there's this joy. Is there joy in trials? Yes, there are. That's what it says in James 1. One of the hardest verses, I think, for anybody to grasp. Account it all joy. Consider it joy when you go through various trials. Really? If we can grasp that, because of what God has done for us, how we are so blessed, it will change your life. See, it breaks my heart when I see people that have come to the Lord and then they're walking and all of a sudden they sort of stray off and decide, oh, I'm not feeling it here, I'm not doing it, whatever. And they get tossed around and beat up by every wind of doctrine and all that. But see, here's the thing, as you come back to Him, remember this, let Him be your shield and your help. You are so special. Here's another passage for you. Turn over to Psalm 115. Look at Psalm 115, verse 9. Psalm 115. Again, it's addressed to Israel, but this applies to us as well. The church receives these blessings. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, this is you. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will, what? Bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord. Fear is just looking at Him with this awe and reverence. Not trembling fear, but a fear of, wow, God. Both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's increased the spiritual fruit and children, this fruit of the Spirit. It's amazing. And see, Noah knew. Look at verse 2. Chapter 9 says, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast." This is the new change, the new world of the earth. "On every bird of the air and all that move on the earth and all the fish of the sea, they are given into your hand." There's going to be a change. Before this, the animals evidently were pretty friendly. But after this, if you notice, you go fishing, they don't jump in your net. They fear. There's wild animals that fear us. This was what God allowed, this new change. "And everyone moving," verse 3, "that every moving thing that lives shall be food for you." This is new. "I have given you all things, even as the green herbs." I have given you all things. See, back in Genesis chapter 1, if you remember, the Lord said, "I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food." This is a change. Now you can eat meat. Meat's okay. Everything is okay. God has blessed us with all these things. It's all right. But I want you to notice this. Here's the caveat. Here's the big condition. "But you shall not eat flesh with its life," that is, its blood. What? See, here's the first reference to you, the privilege of your blessing, the best blessing. How important is blood to God? I want you to catch this. It's life. He says, "Don't eat the flesh, it's life." The word for life there is its soul in its existence. It provides life for your life. In fact, it's so important that later on in the law, it says in Leviticus chapter 17, in part of the law, it says, "Whatever a man of the house of Israel or the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls." Did you hear that? "I've given it to you," this is children of Israel, "for the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." You need to grip. This is so critical. Why? Verse 5. Look at verse 5 there. "Surely for your lifeblood will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require it, life of man." When a creature of God is killed, the lifeblood is shed. And see, God is aware of it. Do you know that? When a soul dies, when it loses lifeblood, God is aware. All life is so important to God. He knows when the sparrows fall. Remember that? But see, you are more important than the sparrow. It says in Matthew 10:29. You've heard that verse. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? A penny. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. Your blood is infinitely more important to God. Why? Verse 6. There it is. "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." You are that important. You are made in God's image. By this Holy, you have got the Holy Spirit. There's an accounting and a reckoning because of that blood. Why? Blood's offered in sacrifice. That's why we see this throughout the whole Old Testament. The blood is offered in sacrifice because it covers sin. That's a propitiation, an appeasement, a substitution for sin. And it's getting ready, it's preparing for your best blessing. Some people, by the way, don't like to preach about the blood. I don't have any problem about it. Because it is so important. Because it's the most vital thing to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. The perfect blessing. We've all sinned. We all deserve death. We all deserve our blood to be shed, to lose life. But God proved His own and provided His own Son, His own God Himself in the flesh, perfect, pure, clean, sinless blood. A payment for your blood. See, I can just see Jesus. You know, we don't have crucifixes because we see Him resurrected. The tomb's empty. But imagine coming close to Easter. Jesus is literally bleeding out on the cross. And He's finally completely bled all His perfect blood for you. And what does He say? It is finished. The most valuable blood in the universe for you. Then verse 7. Then God spoke to Noah and to his... And as for you, He says, again the blessing. Because of this, be fruitful and multiply. You've been saved. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. There's the blessing. Do you feel blessed? Wow. All because of His blood. The response, He gives us the Holy Spirit. We're multiplied this peace and joy. What are we to do? Please respond to His love. Even in pain, even in troubles. We've got the most amazing, best blessed. We don't have anything to ever feel, really. I mean, honestly, if we looked at this with all sincerity and honesty, we have nothing to ever worry about. We are saved. Is He enough? Is this grace? This is grace. This is unearned favor. Is it enough? Amen. And I finally understand something. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about going through major something. Called it thorn in the flesh. Don't know what it is. The reason it's not given, I think, obviously, the Lord didn't want us to know. He prayed, God, remove this thorn. This whatever it is, God, get it out of me. Whether it's depression or anxiety or fear, pain, cancer. Lord, whatever it is, get it out of me. He prayed again. Get it out of me. Three times He prays. What was the Lord's response? My grace is sufficient for you. The answer was no on the other, because the grace is enough. Literally, that's what sufficient means. Possessed of unfailing strength, His grace He's given you. It is enough. It is the best blessing. Let's take off that other stuff and just come to the Lord and just say, thank You, God. It makes the sun look a little brighter today, doesn't it? What He's done for us. Let's pray. Father, we come before You now, and I'm just going to ask that those out here that have never really surrendered their life to You, they've never received Your amazing love and grace. Father, I pray right now that You would open their heart. Be willing to receive You. Receive this gift. that you love them so much, they're the most valuable thing in the universe, that you shed this blood for them. If anybody here says, I'm ready to receive that, just lift up your hand. I just want to see your hand. Just say yes. Okay. Anybody? Yes. I'm ready. In fact, I'm going to have you guys, if you would, come forward. I'm going to have, because I want to pray with you. Please come on forward. Don't be embarrassed. Just let's come on forward here. We're going to pray. Come on. I'm ready to receive that. Church is with you. We're all here. We're so blessed. It's the name of the game. As these hearts are ready to turn to you, Lord, we come before you. As they are giving their life to you, Lord. They're committing their heart to you. And I'm just going to ask you to repeat this prayer in your heart. And you can pray it out loud. Jesus, I need you.
Jesus, I need you.
I'm a sinner.
And I want to turn away from my old life.
And I want to commit everything I have to you. And I receive your blessing, your covering, and you're wiping away my sins by your blood. I receive your covering, and you're wiping away my sins by your blood. Lord, we're so blessed. I pray for these as they confess and they come before you and they receive. Lord, I pray, fill them now with your Holy Spirit. Fall down upon them. And bless them in a mighty way. Thank you for your blessing. And all the church says, Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you. We'll sing. Let's sing. You guys can stay up here if you want prayer. I'd love to pray with you. Let me pray.